Acts chapter number 17. I mentioned this morning that that Mr. Cartwright had written an article. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. It's 12 pages long, so I don't know if that's an article, a short book, a pamphlet, a booklet. There you go. And, you know, it's, and I encouraged him to come give the presentation, and he thought I'd do a better job at it, which is fine. And, but when as I read it, I think it was back earlier in the summer, there was just some good topics, some good things in here, some things to think about, just things to encourage you with. I know we're bombarded today with sin all around us and how to deal with that. And, you know, our theme for this year is a proper vision, and they're, you know, having a proper vision of a lot of things. And tonight, when we look at this, I want us to understand that there's truth. And what we're interested in is the truth. We're interested in the Word of God, interested in what the Bible has to say about things. The Bible speaks out against the acts of homosexuality, and we know that there is children and teens in here, so we will be appropriate in our conversation and our message. At the end of the service, if you're interested, we have about 50 copies of Mr. Cartwright's booklet, or whatever you want to call it, back on the sound booth on the offering plate table. I'm not going to go through all of it, just because I think some of it's best left for you to read and explain to your children if you want to. But there are some things I learned and some things that helped me. And some things are going to be basic, but some things are just different ways of looking at things to try to help us understand the truth here when it comes to it. First thing I want you to see is that, you know, where the Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, and most of these things will be on the back of the board as you hear. I will stay close to the notes. I won't read verbatim exactly what Mr. Cartwright wrote, but I think it's good to be presented to our church and help. And tonight I pray you get this understanding what's wrong with same-sex marriage. The Bible is clear about the sin of homosexuality. God says it's an abomination. The book of Leviticus, book of Romans talk about this. But tonight we're just going to take it more from a idea of how to deal with this and how we should, in the day and time that we live in, deal with individuals that we're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And the truth is, there are a lot of people out there that takes what's evil and they call it good, and there's a lot of people out there that take what is good and call it evil. What we are talking about tonight, people would say, this is wrong, this is evil, this should not be talked about. And it's because they believed the lie. And they believed the lie that society has told them. And because of that, today people call us that we are a hate group. Because just because we believe what the Bible says. The Bible is right. The Bible is true. The Bible talks about let every man be a liar. God is true. And the Word of God is truth. And that's what the idea here to understand is, that how do we deal with a society in the day and time we live in that seems like it's calling everything that is right evil. Us, and us believing the Bible, and everything that is wrong, the sins of this world today, saying that is right, that is normal, and that is okay. The first thing I want you to understand, the Bible teaches us that we should be prepared. 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So my encouragement is, if we believe that the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, we believe that truth that comes from that is the Bible, this is God's preserved word. We as individuals should study the Word of God individually. We should be able to learn from the preaching of the Word of God, but you should be studying. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided word of truth." So we want to rightly divide the word of truth. Matthew 10:16 also tells us, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." There is ways that we should be acting and treating others. And the Bible talks about how we should have mercy combined with truth, grace with truth. We have the truth, but there is a way to present it. And there is a way and to try to reach out to those who are lost. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know what that means? We should always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lives inside of us. You know, we should be able to explain to someone why we think that we're going to heaven when we die. Somebody comes to you and sees maybe a loved one passed away and says, well, how can you act like this? How can you be say it's a celebration service more than it is a memorial service? You should be able, because the hope that lives inside of me, because Jesus Christ lives in me, and because Jesus Christ died on the cross, I'm going to see my loved one again someday. We should be able to explain what that is, but not just that. We should be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We should be able to articulate and intelligently have a conversation with someone what we believe about the Bible. And that's what I believe this little booklet did. And as we grow in our Christian walk, it's important that we understand the Bible, how it relates to the problems of the world, so we can help people show them that Jesus Christ is the answer. To be honest with you, He is the only answer to every problem known to humanity, past, present, and the future, and has a perfect success rate. It never fails. And I think it's important we get that and understand that. This world doesn't need all these other things. It needs Jesus Christ. It needs truth. So here's some things that we're going to look at tonight. First thing is, there's a war going on. I think most of us would understand that. There's a war going on. That war, we're not talking about the war on terror. We're not talking about the war in Syria. We're talking about the war that's going on between Satan and God. Satan has always tried to usurp his authority over God, tried to raise above God, and Satan is trying to do everything he can to control this world and keep people from going to heaven. Satan is very good at deceiving us. Everyone in the world, he's good at tricking us. Mr. Bateman yesterday to the kids talked about tricking and how the devil's good at tricking, and talked about how Jacob tricked his father, and how even the devil tricked Eve. And you know what? We've been tricked so many times in so many different ways. And he is very good at us getting off track when considering any subject involving the commandments of God. Once that is done, it's hard to get right back on track. And, you know, in the day and time we live at, people are trying to take everybody off the sidetracks to really miss what the truth is all about. Is something right or wrong? Here's some of Satan's tactics. First, he changes the correct focus of a subject into a incorrect focus. He gets people asking the wrong question. He questions God's word, and that's what Yahweh God said. He's been doing that from the beginning, and then he outright lies. We and everyone we talk to must understand that we are not against people. As believers, Christians, you are not against an individual. You're against sin. You're not against someone's ideas. You're not against a political party, a philosophy, a religion, a culture. What we are for is the truth, and what we are against is error. And the world has gone so far from the truth and toward error that we must stop and recalibrate our Christian way of thinking. God has not changed. God's word has not changed. People have changed, and it's influenced us as a world to where Christians today are getting this wrong. Churches today are getting this wrong. Different movements today are saying that they should allow homosexual marriage. And it's completely contrary to what the Word of God says. When we think about this, it's critical that we understand that on how we should communicate. There is a difference in the way a saved person and an unsaved person thinks and talks. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The idea here is that Satan is a liar, he is the father of lies, and the notion that this same-sex marriage is based upon is surrounded by lies, and we need to be careful that we know how to refute them. A quote from Adolf Hitler was credited with this quote. It says, if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, the people will believe it. If you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, the people will believe it. Mr. Cartwright writes in his booklet, I can't prove that Adolf said that, but I can prove that saying itself is true. Plus, history tells us that it worked nicely in Germany in World War II. It did work. And it's the same thing if you go in and the squeaky wheel gets the oil. If you keep on saying something long enough, people are gullible enough to believe the lies that the devil has given. It's important that we understand that people who are unsaved are not going to understand the language that a Christian would use or someone who understands the Bible would use. And that's where we're coming for Acts chapter 17 and verse number 2. Verses 2 and 11, Paul is speaking to people here that understand the Bible, or at least they think they understand the Bible. He says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." This is Acts chapter 17, verse number 2. You look at verse number 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Well, those are people who understood a little bit about the Word of God. In the day and time we live in, there's a lot of people that don't understand about anything about the Bible. And you see, as he deals with the people on Mars Hills in verses 22 through 34, he approaches it in a different way. He says in verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things that ye are too superstitious. For I am passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands.'" You know, where he begins with, he goes all the way back to the spot and says, you know what, God created this world. And from that, he begins a case and he builds a case to help people understand their need and their need for salvation. In the day and time we live in, it's critical for that we understand the language difference between us, a saved person, and them that are unsaved. When we speak against homosexuality, for example, we are speaking against an activity, not a person. However, the lost only hear about a person, and Satan uses us to make us look like we're evil people, like we do not care about the individual. And that is the farthest from the truth. He takes what's evil and says it's good, and takes what is good and it makes it into evil. Wrong has been turned into right. Right has been turned into wrong. We are not against people. We are trying to reach people. We are trying to help people. We are against the activity of the people and the one that lied to them, their boss, their leader, the devil. And we've said it before, God does not hate the person. God hates the sin. And that's what we are against. And we must be very careful not to portray an image of being against people. We must be very careful to be against the sin. Mr. Cartwright puts it this way, "which I initially call an error until they listen for a while, because everyone seems to have presumptuous about the word sin. People get hung up on that word and they miss the message completely." Remember Satan's tactic, number one. He uses something, he gets it off the main purpose, the main focus, and he causes people to take that incorrect focus and they focus on that word, they miss the whole point of the message. They don't understand the simple concept and we take it for granted sometimes. So, as we see the language barrier between a saved person and a lost person, the saved person says one thing, but a lost person hears something completely different. Since the unsaved person has been blinded to all the scriptures, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we can begin by using secular terminology and reasoning, which gets their attention and keeps it until we prove solidly their own logic that they have been lied to, and then how we begin to discuss their need. The Word of God is what changes an individual's life. Each individual must choose which way they will go, and the Bible talks about in 2 Peter 3:4-5, that they're scoffers in the last day, but he tells them why they're scoffers. He says they are walking after their own lust. And lust is the reason why people choose not to believe the Bible. Lust is the reason why people choose to believe a theory of evolution instead of overwhelming scientific evidence for the biblical account of the Genesis flood. Lust is the reason why people choose not to accept Christ. They want things their own way. Every time, the Bible also tells us they are willingly ignorant of these facts, and lust is the reason for it. So a couple things here that I think is good. And Mr. Cartwright says, "I try not to call anyone a homosexual because that is interpreted as being a person, a noun. This is a very difficult thing to do because we've grown up in a world that's mixed up and must guard against Satan's lies. Rather, in trying to take the time to say that we're against a homosexual activity that people do, something like that. So we got to remember is that Satan is a liar. He will do his best to try to deceive us. That's your next point. There's a couple of different lies. He says, it's amazing to consider some of the lies that Satan has convinced us through, convinced people to accept. He uses technology. He uses other things. He uses the radio, the television. Not that I'm against the radio and television. I'm against those that portrays lies. Movie industry, internet, public school systems, other schools' teachings through certain books. The Bible says that Satan is a liar, and he uses all these different methods. Think about some of the lies that people have accepted today. A lie is a homosexual is a person. A homosexual is not a person, but something a person does. It is a verb, not a noun. It is a behavior, an activity. It is a choice that a person makes. This choice is made after birth and must be learned. It does not physically define the person, but is a description of what a person does. The activity is a personal choice. The choice of any type of sexual activity, whether no matter what it is a choice that is learned after they are born. People are born homosexuals. I believe that is a lie. You know, we choose what we are. No one is born as a homosexual. They choose their behaviors after they learn it at birth. And that's an important thing that people try to tell you that that's not the case today. Some of you might have heard of a gay gene. Scientists have discovered a gay gene. That is also a lie. This idea became popular from a misunderstood study of males published in a journal, Science, in 1993. Other scientists were unable to duplicate those recent results until a 2014 analysis of a larger group of test subjects found a similar link. But the similar sequences did not include a gene, nor did the research support the conclusion that any DNA directly or indirectly determines sexuality. If these DNA sequences determine sexuality, then why does it often look in the same heterosexual, it looks the same in someone who is not performing homosexual activity? Also, the data shows no link between women in any way, shape, or form, no matter what their sexual preferences are. Another lie is homosexuals can have families. You know, the truth is every person has a mother and a father. Someone helped create them. There is no other way. Medical science can make the process happen without the knowledge of another person, but it cannot change the fact that a father and a mother are required, and it is physically impossible that for a homosexual activity to produce any type of offspring. The only thing it produces is diseases at times. There's two different kinds of people in the world. There is a man and there is a woman. These two types of people are, there's no other choices. Now, there is people who are, where you're bombarded with words such as transgender, transsexual, transvestite, gender identity. These terms are not nouns, but they're adjectives. They describe a man or they describe a woman. They describe something a person does, but they do not define the person physically. For example, there's no such thing as a transgender person. It is not a person, but something a person has chosen to do. It is not a noun, it is a verb. It is interesting that all these different words that we've been talking about have come about in the last 100 years or so. The simple fact is everyone is born a male will die a male. Everyone who is born a female will die a female. No person has ever or ever will be changed from one gender to the other. Medical science can change the appearance of a person. Medical science can tamper and can change the genetic makeup, but the DNA is still the same. When we die, we will be the same as we were born. Many times, if a male goes through these change processes and takes all the different hormone and alternate drug available, and when he enters in the hospital with a certain sickness, he must tell the hospital that he is male. Otherwise, they will administer the wrong drugs and it will kill him. He must admit that he's originally male or it will cause him to be harmed. This is because he is still male and medical science cannot change the gender of a person. But science can only mess up what God has created. Another thing, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, is it's very harmful behavior. He has in his booklet and he has in his brochure all the different diseases, all the different problems these type of relationships cause. And it's no coincidence that every relationship that is listed is a high risk of several diseases except one. You might guess what it was. A man and a woman living in a relationship with only they are faithful to one another. That is the only one that is not at a high risk. And you think about what it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 20-32. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And you begin to listen. It says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So this is beginning to describe the inappropriate relationships. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the men with men, working which is unseemly. Also likewise the men leaving the natural use, with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That is referring to the different things that happens when a person enters into a relationship that God would consider an abomination. Now, if you go through this and you look back there, it talks about how the same-sex marriage, how it came about in North Carolina. How we as Americans who was... used to think that we were by the people and for the people, overwhelmingly said that they wanted men to be married to women, and that was a law that was in place a number of different times. Even here recently, it was voted on, and overwhelmingly, the people in North Carolina said, we want to be between marriage to be one man and one woman, like the Bible says. But and he gives a good outline of how judges have taken not been for the people, but instead done what they wanted to do, and they have now allowing people to become married to one another. And you say, what's the big deal? Well, you see how far it goes. Now you have judges that have to make a decision. Am I going to perform a homosexual marriage, which would be against my conscience, against what I believe, or do I have to resign my position? Oh, we're going to make a law to make them, we've missed it. We've lost the wrong focus here. The wrong focus was that back here, this is a sin. And because we've listened to the lie for so long, now we're fighting for something that we should fight for, but we should never had to deal with to begin with, because back here, the truth was away from. And we have gone farther and farther and farther away from the truth. You think 100 years ago, this would have never been the case, would it have? Imagine what it's going to be like in 2115. It's amazing. And there is a long list of different things he talks about, and I'm not going to get into what the state of North Carolina and different principles about that. I wanted to stay focused here. So as we conclude here, we're almost done. Some things I want you to think about. We go back to that verse, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And like I said, there is many churches today from different type of denominations that say, this is okay. The Bible says, woe unto them. Be very careful. And you need to be very careful for yourself. You need to look in the Word of God, look in the Bible, what is truth, instead of just listening and buying into the lies of the devil, buying into the lies of the people, believe what is good and what is right. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Wrong has been turned into right, right has been turned into wrong. These events will have a huge effect against anything Christian in our society. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 5, knowing this first, that they should come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God. People are choosing to be ignorant. And the problem is, the Word of God is the truth, and even Christians today are choosing to be ignorant of the Word of God and accepting of something that is an abomination to God. Even apart from the Bible, all the facts presented helps us make decisions that really is a no-brainer. It is physically harmful for an individual to choose a particular being in this particular behavior. It is a legally harmful to individuals to choose not to. It is something that participate in this behavior is legally harmful to individuals that choose not to participate in this behavior. It is harmful to a society as a whole. In this generation we live at, there are people that are scoffers because they are willfully ignorant of the facts. They choose to ignore the facts, and someone has said that this is something that is we must work on. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there are no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." You think about it, there is a protected class, and the United States has an anti-discrimination law. A protected class is a characteristic of a person who cannot be targeted for discrimination. The following characteristics are considered protected classes. Race is a protected class. You cannot target someone, and that's a good one. Color, religion, national origin. Age, if you're 40 or older, you cannot be discriminated against in employment. Sex, Equal Pay Act of 1963, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Pregnancy, you cannot discriminate against an individual who is pregnant. Citizenship, Immigration Reform and Control Act. Familia status, it's the Civil Rights Act of 1968. Housing cannot discriminate for having children, with an exception for senior housing. Disability status. Veteran status, service employment, reemployment right acts, genetic information. Individual states can and do create their own protected classes, which are protected underneath that state law. But notice, the United States government will add a gender identity as a protected class of citizens. But the difference is that it is flowing down. But you notice that this is not a behavior. These are an activity of choice. Race is not something people choose. It's the way they're born. Colors, the same thing, are things that they choose to do. So what is it we should do? I hope this has helped you. I know the message is a little bit different than what we are used to. But you think about what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 2. And if you think about how God is in control, this will help you throughout the day. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords for us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh; the Lord shall know them, shall have them in derision." The truth is, God is in control of all things. So, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, first of all, remember God's in control. Secondly, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Always, and again I said rejoice. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to rejoice. The Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand." So what else are we supposed to do? We're supposed to calm down and realize God is in control. Next thing it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." We're not supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to pray about it. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's something that we are supposed to let God control and have peace through all this. So what do we do on a practical sense? We vote for Christian principles. Upcoming elections, I'm not going to say this is the person you should vote for, this is the person you should vote for. We should vote for the person that is going to try to bring back godly principles into our nation. Pray for judges, magistrates, employees who are being forced to violate their clear First Amendment rights. Pray for America. Encourage young people to become Christian lawyers and those who will stand for truth in our day and time as politicians. Support Christian organizations that are fighting this good fight. And do what Jesus told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." When I read through this and I saw some things and I thought about some things, there's a certain way we could look at it. We are being attacked as believers because we are trying, they say we're targeting people. We're not targeting people. We are targeting a sin, an act that is happening. And when I was reading through this, a lot of this made sense, and I hope you take a copy of it home with you and read through it. And, like I said, become rightly dividing the word of truth. look up the Word of God and see what the Bible says in the book of Leviticus and the book of Romans and other passages of scriptures where God is intended for a marriage to be like. And when someone begins to ask you questions and begins to try to convince you that wrong is right and right is wrong, have the Word of God, have the ability to give an answer. Study to show yourself approved, a workman. You know, someone who is working at this, you know, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Don't live for error. Don't swallow what's being told to you in the world that we live in today. We need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, what the Bible says, be ready to give that answer. I don't think that just includes salvation. Of course, obviously that's the greatest thing. You know, a little boy or a little girl comes to you and say, I want to become a Christian. Would you know how to win them to Christ? But a little boy or a little girl comes to you and says, well, what's wrong with this? You know, they're being taught in school that it's okay, that it's even wrong to be opposed to it. Once again, we can be opposed to the activity, not opposed to the person. We're opposed to the activity, but they're being taught in schools today, and they're being taught in clubs today. They're being taught by the TV today. The Bible is wrong because the Bible disagrees with this. And you know what we're doing? We're teaching a generation to question the Bible and say, is this wrong? Because my teacher said it was right. The TV said it was right. And the Bible says it's wrong. Who's got to be right? We need to be careful not to call evil good and good evil. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with the heads bowed and eyes for close for a time of invitation. You say, Pastor, what are we supposed to be praying for? I think there's a lot of things that we can consider tonight. Thing number one, we can pray for our nation. There are a lot of people calling evil good and good evil. And I don't know where you stand on this. A lot of people are sympathetic. And I understand that because of what we've been forced to listen to and hear. But what is truth? Let's get into the Bible and see what truth is. Let's understand the truths that are involved there. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray as individuals, make commitments to rightly divide the word of truth so we will be ready to give an answer to people. We need to pray for our young people as they're being bombarded around all sides when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to school, when it comes to friends, to stay close to the Word of God and stay true to the Word of God. I know tonight's message was a little bit different than what you've heard before in the past and the idea of the way it was presented, but it is truth, and we need to get a proper vision of what we should believe when it comes to same-sex marriage. It's wrong, and the Bible says it's wrong. Lord, I pray you help us tonight. Lord, I pray throughout all this that we will at least be interested in being good students of the Word of God, and that you'll teach us those things we need to learn, and Lord, that we will be ready to give an answer, ready to fight in the culture and day that we live in, the issues that we face today. And Lord, that we'll take a stand. We'll call sin, sin, and we'll not be satisfied when someone calls wrong right, but instead we'll hold to our Word of God and we'll hold to the Bible and we'll try to reach out to this generation that has been compromised on so many different levels. Lord, help our nation. Help us as believers. Help us as a church to take a stand to do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen.